Hi, Smutters.
Hey, everybody. I've already been bleeped out 3 times.
Yes, this is the 3rd time we've had to restart.
Being censored.
How's your week been?
It's been long.
It has been a long week.
But it has turned off cold.
It's really cold today.
The weather is acting like it saw a state trooper.
It's calming down.
It was like 90 and then like 70. And now it's dropped in the 60s. But
is that all it is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like wearing flannel pants and a sweatshirt.
Used to 100 degree weather every day.
I'm freezing.
Yeah, that'll take some getting used to.
But yeah, I'm super excited about it. And it looks
like... feels more like Halloween.
It does. It looks like October all day today.
Did everybody get to see the eclipse?
I saw the eclipse.
Yeah, your eyes are burning.
I literally text Troy and I was like, I don't see it anywhere. And I was like, is it supposed to happen? Because I was so upset. I was like, Friday the 13th, the eclipse is the next day. It's October. It's just perfect. And
season of the witch.
Yes. And then Troy's like, oh, well, I guess it's just not going to happen then. And then I put my sunglasses on and looked at the sun and I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. So I took my sun, and right before I have to go back in, Troy's like, do not stare at it directly. And I was like, okay, y'all, I'm surprised I'm not blind. I stared at that thing for the longest time.
You're an idiot.
I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, it's an eclipse. And my eyes were burning all day long. So don't ever stare at an eclipse.
That's kind of a common knowledge. But remember the one we had a couple years ago where they were selling the glasses for it and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're not supposed to stare at it though.
I remember when we had an eclipse when I was little in school, and the teachers were like, if you stare at it, you will be sent inside.
Well, yeah.
But, I was super excited about that because that was awesome, you know. So, that was good. Also, we had more news this week, right?
What? You're pregnant.
What? No. God, no. Tupac.
Yeah, he's alive.
No, what? No. It turns...
Oh, yeah, they arrested the guy.
Yeah, they arrested the guy.
Yeah, and he's trying to say that P. Diddy paid him.
Is that true? I wonder if that's true. Your Angry Birds are so much cooler than mine.
I know. Look at the little Ghostbusters.
They have proton packs. Are you serious right now?
Look at little Dracula and then a little mummy, a little werewolf bird. He's howling at the moon.
That's so cool. A little pumpkin pig.
Yeah. Isn't that cute?
That is cute. I love that. Okay. So, I am extremely excited about tonight's story.
Are you now?
I am. Because we have done this story before, and I was extremely excited about it when we did it then. But when we did, it was our 11th episode.
So, what's that mean?
It means that we still hadn't figured everything out. So, and we were still new. So we were like giggly and you know what I mean?
Giggly anyway.
Well, yeah. But also it was a 2-parter because it hit like 30 minutes and then we had to go to the next episode. Remember when we had to do that? And, but Troy amazingly figured all that out. So now we can do 1-parters as long as we want to. And I feel like I've got more info and I can tell the story a lot better. Plus, you guys, right now in Adams, Tennessee, they are having the Bellwitch Festival. It is going on right now.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So, I figured, why not? Let's redo the Bellwitch story.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite stories, you guys. And I'm so excited to do this. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive on in. So,
oh, wait.
What?
Did Did you see the video of the Sasquatch?
Yes, that was something we were wanting to talk about.
It's probably, you know, some local dressed up doing it, but still, it was cool to see. And what's funny about it is the guy who recorded it is from Florida. And his grandfather used to tell him a story about Florida's skunk ape.
Skunk ape, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like funny with, you know, family history type deal. But yeah, it did kind of look like it though, didn't it?
I mean, I thought it looked pretty real, but you never know. I mean, the way things are now, like if that was taken, 20 years ago, people would have been all over it, right? But it is. It's everywhere right now. It's all over social media.
Yeah. Well, that's the first picture that's not grainy.
It isn't grainy. Remember when you text me and you're like, hear me out. Sasquatch is just a grainy looking thing.
That's what he looks like.
So it's very cool, and lots of people are getting excited about it. And fun fact, the skunk ape is kind of a relative of Sasquatch. Mm. So that's kind of neat for the person that took the video, and I love that so much. If y'all haven't seen it, just hit one of the Sasquatch, Instagram, on Instagram or whatever, just type in Sasquatch and it'll pop up for you. But it is a very cool video. I've watched it.
There at the end, Harry was dropping off the Hendersons.
It did. He crouched down behind a bush, didn't he? But yeah, it's a really cool video, you guys. So look that up and check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Okay. So tonight we are talking about a haunting that actually had someone die of supernatural causes, and that is what the death certificate says.
Huh.
Yeah. Actually died of supernatural causes. And this is one of the all-American hauntings. This is one of the biggest hauntings in America. So, let's see. People would refer to it as a witch, but with it being the 1800s, it could have been a spirit or an entity. A lot of people just, in that time period, they seem to go to witch on pretty much everything. You know what I mean?
Witch.
Witch, exactly. She's a witch. Some people believe it may have even been a demon. The Bell Witch would scratch people and slap people so hard it would leave a mark on their face. And it could levitate people and would eventually take the life of John Bell.
Didn't he like take care of it or something?
Huh?
Didn't he take care of it or something?
Take care of it?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have to see, because there's a plot twist at the end.
Yeah, I can't remember it.
So it's good, because it's a very cool plot twist. This is a story of the Bell Witch. John and Lucy Bell were from North Carolina, and they moved to Tennessee in the early 1800s. John and Lucy had 5 children, Jesse, John Jr., Drury, Benjamin, and Benjamin died very young, so he's not in the story, Esther, and Zadok. The family decided to buy some land near Adams, Tennessee around 1804, and they eventually had 3 more children. They had a daughter named Elizabeth, who everybody called Betsy, and I love her name, Betsy Bell.
I guess.
That's so cute. They had a son, Richard, also known as Williams.
Or Dick.
Williams. He went by his middle name. And they had Joe. Now, the part of Adams, Tennessee that they moved to was Red River. And it was rumored to be cursed and on sacred land that Native Americans eventually abandoned. Now, the haunting didn't actually start until 1817. And it started with strange animal sightings. John Bell was out hunting one day, and he looked over and saw an animal. And it was all black, and it had the body of a dog, but with the head of a rabbit. Which, I mean, honestly, to me, that sounds kind of cute, right? But no.
Not at all.
What? Those are like the two cutest animals, and they combined them, a rabbit and a dog. Okay. He tried to shoot the animal, but as soon as he did, it just vanished. So one of the sons was out and saw what he thought was a turkey, a very large turkey, but it vanished too.
It's got a vanishing problem.
These animals do have a vanishing problem. It was later determined it was some kind of unknown huge bird. The family talked about the weird things they had seen on the property, but also nothing had happened. They just had strange animal sightings. Then the family would wake up in the middle of the night to tapping noises outside of their house.
Tap, 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 tap.
The boys would go to investigate, but nothing was there. So they decided they were being pranked. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The Bells lived on 320 acres. And
must be nice.
For somebody to want to prank them just by tapping on the outside of their house, they would have to be determined. You know what I mean? Like, to run out to the house and tap on it and then run as far as you can and try to hide from them. You know it?
Yeah.
So I feel like it definitely was not a prank, but I think that it probably scared them and they just chalked it up to that, you know? Let's see. The tapping noises then turned into noises inside the house. They described it as gnawing on the beds. It sounded like hundreds of rats were in the wall chewing on the wood.
Make sure it wasn't?
Yes. Okay. The Bell family would look for what was causing the noise and they would never find anything. But then all of a sudden, Betsy would start waking up and screaming and wake up the whole family.
Which one was Betsy?
Betsy was the one of the daughters that they had when they got to the farm.
She the youngest?
I'm not sure if she is or isn't. I think she was around 12 years old when this started happening to her. When the family got to her, her cheeks would be red and swollen, and she would have welts or handprints on her face saying she was hit or slapped. The noises started getting worse. They got louder and more frequent. They would hear chains dragging on the floor, and they would hear glass shattering.
Which better be pants or rent.
Their blankets would get ripped off of them and their pillows would get thrown in the floor. That is something I absolutely hate, is when my pillow falls in the floor.
If anything messes, like anything happens while I'm sleeping, it immediately wakes me up. Like, I would seriously have already just hightailed it out of there, 320 acres or not. I'm not having no covers pulled off of me. And
that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But after they would like rip the covers off of them and throw their pillows in the floor, the whole house would start shaking. Now, the times they lived in were a lot different than the times we're in now, which means with this going on, the family didn't really tell anyone. It wouldn't be proper for one. But they were scared if they told anybody around them that people would think they were crazy and they would turn into the outcast of the town. Does that make sense?
Nope.
This went on for about a year. The kids were not allowed to say a word to their friends, and John and Lucy definitely didn't tell anyone. The family finally had enough and decided if this is going to stop, they needed to get help. They turned to James Johnston, who was a neighbor and a family friend. And also, he was a pastor as well, I believe. He would hold sermons in the different houses and stuff like that. The family trusted him, and they had James and his wife stay the night to see if maybe the activity would calm down. It did not. The spirit had an audience, and it definitely put on a show. So James told the Bells he was going to go find help, and he was going to get a group together, and they would do some investigating. Word started to spread, and people would just show up on the farm to see what was going on. they would start to ask questions and they would get taps as answers, like one tap for yes and two taps for no. That was the first time that they saw this was an extremely intelligent spirit. Over time, the taps would turn into moans or groans, which eventually turned into whispers and then a voice. The night the spirit spoke, the Bells had 24 people in the kitchen, and the spirit said, quote, "I am the spirit of a person who was once very happy, but I have been disturbed and made unhappy. I am the spirit of a person who is buried in the woods nearby." And the grave has been disturbed. My bones disinterred and scattered. I have come to kill John Bell. Now, there were some bones that had been disturbed, but it wasn't John Bell that did it. It was his son. Many people worked on the Bell land. They had, as I said, 320 acres. And when I say people that worked on the land, I mean slaves, pretty much. One day while they were working in the fields, they realized they were working in a burial ground.
An Indian burial ground?
A Native American burial ground, to be exact. The farmhands went to tell John Bell what they had found. Huh?
Isn't that what I said?
We have to say Native Americans now. They went to go tell John Bell what they found, but while they were telling him, his son Drury overheard. That is a tough name to say. So with Drury being, I cannot say his name.
Are you saying jewelry?
That's what it sounds like. I'm saying Drury. So with Drury, that sounds like I'm saying jewelry. With him being a kid, he got one of his friends and they went to the location that the farmhands were talking about. They thought maybe they could find some cool treasure, just boys being boys. They ended up finding a jawbone. They decided to take it home and show John Bell. John was extremely mad and told Drury, stop laughing. He better go put it back immediately. Now, I'm going to stop right here. I read another thing that when he brought the jawbone to the house, that a tooth fell out and it was never found.
We're talking about Drury.
Yeah, we're talking about Drury. So the tooth was never found, but I did see that in several places. And then there's a new show that I'll get to at the end of the story, but they had mentioned it as well. So there's that. Now, at this point, people had all heard about the Bell Farm from all over the world. Many people showed up to witness the spirit's voice, including one man who was going to get rid of the problem and rescue the family. He was from the East Coast, and he claimed to be a witch hunter. He said he could kill a witch.
Hey, is this that guy that kept coming back and back?
That's a different story. He claimed he could kill a witch with his silver bullets.
That's werewolves.
Duh.
Come on now.
He said he'd killed witches before and...
He won't.
Yeah, he was going to kill the Bell Witch. Now, since he did say he killed witches before, which women did he kill?
The other ones that said they were pregnant or talked back.
Or went crazy.
I'm pregnant. Witch.
Witch. Let me get my silver bullets out real quick. He ended up staying a little while. And while he was there, everything stopped. Things were fine. So the Bell family offered to basically pay him to live with them. As long as, you know, there wasn't anything going on, that's what they decided. And of course, he said yes, but he needed to go back and grab some belongings. And then he would eventually be back and to move in with the Bells. So of course, they were like, yeah, go for it. So as he went to get on his horse, The horse refused to move.
Of course.
He did everything to make that horse move.
Of course.
He beat the horse. Of course. He pulled the horse. He pushed the horse. He did everything he could. And the horse would not move. Then they all heard a voice that said, "I can make that horse go. Let me get on." The horse freaked out and took off with the witch hunter on his back. They never saw the witch hunter again. The witch thought this was hilarious and laughed and laughed and laughed. And she would talk about it to the family and laugh some more. Like, basically making fun of the family and the witch hunter. One man stayed with the Bell family and was able to talk to his family through the witch. The witch even sounded like his own mother when she told him that she was tired of this and to get home. And that brings me to my next point. She was really good at sounding like other people. Keep that in mind. On one famous occasion, the witch recited perfectly the sermon of Reverend James Gunn of Bethel Methodist Church, followed by the sermon of Sugg Fort. Each sermon was given at the same time, more than 12 miles apart. Now, how is this witch in two places at once? After that, she would interrupt the sermons. She would sing hymns that no one had ever heard of. Eventually, the Bell Farm caught the attention of Andrew Jackson.
The president. Or was he a general at the time?
Well, he was a general at the time. This is my favorite part of the story, though, because this witch is sassy as hell. The family was actually friends with Jackson because John Jr. served beside him in the Battle of New Orleans. General Jackson's party came from Nashville with a tent and provisions. They were looking for a good time and having fun investigating the witch. Jackson brought another self-proclaimed witch hunter who also brought silver bullets.
What is it with silver bullets?
I have no idea. On the way to the farm, their wagon got stuck and wouldn't budge. They checked all the wheels. The wheels were fine. They all got out to push the wagon and it wouldn't move. Jackson told his men this had to be the witch's doing. And as soon as he said this, they all heard a disembodied voice say, "All right, General, let the wagon move. I'll see you all tonight." And they finally made it to the farm. These guys were pumped. They wanted to search the farm, and they found nothing. They stayed up all night waiting for the witch. And while the men were waiting, the witch hunter would sit there and kept going on and on about himself, about how great he was at catching witches and how many witches he's killed. And just kind of like the other one, he was very full of himself. And he was telling his plan for catching the Bell Witch and how he was going to shoot her with his silver bullets. And while this was going on, Andrew Jackson leans over to one of his buddies and said, quote, "I bet he is a coward, and I do wish this thing would come so we can see him run." I think Andrew Jackson had a little bit of a personality. What do you think?
Probably.
So because of this awful guy, Jackson is now rooting for the witch. And just then, they heard sweeping on the floor, and then a voice that said, quote, "All right, General, I'm here, and I'm ready for business." It was the witch. And as soon as they heard it, the witch hunter shot in the direction of the voice. Nothing. The witch told him to take another shot. Nothing. And then the witch said it was her turn.
Should have used iron.
He should have used a little bit of kindness because he's about to get his shit wrong. So he missed, obviously. And as soon as he did, he was struck by an unseen force. And then he started screaming that he was being stabbed with thousands of needles all over his body. I think she even may have broke his nose.
Talk shit.
Exactly. He then ran from the tent. And the witch then said, quote, "How the devil did run and beg. I'll bet he won't come through here again with his old horse pistol to shoot me. I guess that's fun enough for tonight, General. And you can go to bed now. I will come tomorrow and show you another rascal in the crowd." Jackson was eager to stay, but eventually had to get back to Nashville. He had business going on. So they ended up leaving the next day. I did see in other places that Jackson was running, like trying to get away from the farm. So I'm sure something else happened, but I feel like that night Jackson probably got a kick out of the witch. You know,
I got a feeling he's like, the hell with this.
Another encounter happened to one of the slaves. The witch had a strong dislike for the slaves on the property. She would torment them and beat them.
How do we know it's a she?
Good point.
Because didn't you say earlier his bones were buried and disturbed on the property?
No, I did not. I don't think so. If I did, I didn't mean to. I should have said their bones because the voices change a lot. So sorry about that. Good point. So she would torment them and beat them. And one of the slaves named Dean stated that he encountered the witch several times. It frequently appeared in the form of a large black dog or wolf, and sometimes even a dog with two heads. Dean also said the witch turned him into a mule and then heard the witch talking to another entity saying, quote, "They should ride Dean into hell to get some breakfast." That's not funny. I was just laughing at that. I'm not laughing. He carried his axe with him at all times, and his wife even made him something called a witch's ball. And what that's supposed to do is protect him from the entity. And she made it with different herbs, and I think she even put some of her hair in it. And it worked for a little bit. It did work until he met up with the witch and something happened where she got it. And that's probably when she turned him into a mule. So, but later on in life, everybody loved Dean in the town, and he would sit in the town, and his story never changed about the witch. It always stayed the same.
He was a mule?
No, he was changed back, obviously. But his story never changed. They just tied him up in the center. But no, it never changed. He always said the same thing. It always, you know, it was always the same.
Stay there if you tell him to stay there. What?
Earlier, we had touched down on Betsy Bell. Betsy Bell. For some reason, the witch loved to torment John and Betsy. Some of the reasons are still unclear.
Easy targets?
No. Oh. Now, this is a trigger warning. Many people believe that the reason why the witch went after John and Betsy was because he was, sexually molesting Betsy. So, and John Bell was not a good person, but, by any means, like, but, that's why the witch kind of went after both of them. The witch adamantly opposed the union of childhood sweethearts Betsy and Joshua. The witch would abuse and taunt Betsy, saying, "Please, Betsy Bell, don't marry Joshua Gardner. That would bring you a lifetime of pain and misery." The witch would also say crude things to embarrass Betsy in front of Joshua. They eventually ended up putting the wedding off in fear of what might happen with the witch. And the witch started eventually attacking Betsy more, so much to the point that she started having fainting spells and seizures. She often appeared exhausted and lifeless. Betsy later described one incident when the spirit became so tantalizing, filling her mind with horror and causing her to become so nervous, her parents often sent her to a neighbor's to rest for the night. Now, this is Betsy. She said, "My first night away was spent with Theny Thorne. When we retired, there came a loud knocking on the outside door, which seemed to fly open, and a great gust of wind was felt. Theny sprang up at once and lit a candle. To our surprise, the door was not open, but then a voice spoke softly. 'Betsy, you should not have come over here. You know I can follow you anywhere. Now get a good night's sleep.' And a soft hand patted her cheek, and the voice again assured her that they would not be disturbed anymore that night."
That's not like the other witch, right? From her house. Because the other one, like, beats her and hits her in the face and all that. And this one's patting her face and telling her to get a good night's sleep. You know?
The rest of the family often attempted to give Betsy relief. There was a family friend named Frank Miles who promised to protect Betsy from any further abuse from the spirit. Betsy said, quote, "Frank was the most powerful man any of us had ever saw and just as fearless as any man. One time, he said, 'Come sit by me, little sister. Nothing will bother you while I'm here.'" The witch then said, after he told Betsy this, quote, "You go home. You can do no good here." And then the witch began slapping and pulling Betsy's hair. She then turned on Miles, knocking him over and enraging him. Betsy continued to endure the witch's abuse after calling off the marriage to Joshua.
That's what the witch wanted her to do, right?
Betsy eventually married her former school teacher, which is so fucking weird, Richard Powell. And in my notes, I put gross. In 1820, she left with her husband and settled in Mississippi. She had 8 children, 6 of which passed away. Her husband lost all of their money on a bad investment, and they never recovered. Eventually, he died and left Betsy alone, and she was miserable for the rest of her life. The witch took away her happiness and caused Betsy to live a sad, lonely life.
So the witch tricked her. She wanted to marry her true love, and the witch told her no, that she'd be miserable, and Betsy believed her, and then married her gross old school teacher.
So the witch tricked her and made her miserable the rest of her life. So now we are going to go back to John Bell. The main goal of the witch was to slowly kill John, or Old Jack, which she called him. Anytime she spoke to John, she would always call him Old Jack. I think probably just because he hated it. Every time John left the house, she would blast him with curses, threats, and make sure he was in horrific pain. I heard on another podcast that when he would leave the house, it would feel like there was a stick in his mouth piercing both sides, and he would have to go back to the house for it to stop. Like, the witch would do that, and then he was outside, like, going to feed the pigs with John Jr., I believe, and when he'd go to take a step, his shoes would fly off, and it just, like, she terrorized him. Anytime he left that house, something happened to him. The abuse majorly impacted his psyche, and John got to the point where he wouldn't leave his house and was eventually confined to his bed. John Jr. cared for his dad, and on December 19th of 1820, John Bell never got up. John Jr. went to get his medicine, but instead of the 3 medicine vials that he usually grabbed to give his dad, he only found one. It was 1/3 full of dark, smoky liquid of unknown origin. The voice of the witch said, quote, It's useless for you to relieve old Jack. I've got him this time. He will never get up from that bed again. She claimed to the vial that she gave old Jack, quote, gave old Jack a big dose of it last night while he was fast asleep, which fixed him. John Jr. then threw the vial into the fire and it erupted into a blue blaze. John Bell died December 20th of 1820. Now, I don't know what the liquid was. Nobody knows. I do know that before he threw it on the floor, they took just a drop of it and put it on the cat's tongue and the cat just fell over dead. So I'm guessing it was probably like arsenic or something like that.
Probably.
Now, at John Bell's funeral, the witch disrupted the whole service. You know how she disrupted the service?
How's that?
She sang old drinking songs the whole entire time over the sermon. So, like, while they were trying to talk about, you know, John Bell and his life and stuff, she sang old drinking songs that they would sing in bars.
Hmm.
even though the witch hated John, for some reason, it loved Lucy, John's wife. The witch always spoke to Lucy with respect and even gave her helpful advice. She even kept her informed on how her family was in North Carolina. One time when Lucy was very ill, the witch became concerned. It would sing to Lucy when she couldn't eat and even bring her treats to tempt her appetite. Lucy was bedridden from being so sick. The neighborhood women came to sit with her. The witch told Lucy to hold out her hands, and hazelnuts began to fall into them. Lucy sat the nuts down, and the witch told her, "Eat, Lucy." Lucy said she couldn't crack them. All of a sudden, all of the hazelnuts were cracked, and Lucy finally ate. The witch then made grapes fall from the ceiling, and Lucy ate those too. Within a few days, Lucy was all better, and the witch had saved her life. After John passed, things started to calm down. The witch promised to leave, but also said that she would be back in 7 years. She came back and spoke with John Jr. about the past, the present, and the future. She even made predictions about the Civil War, World War I, and II, and the Great Depression. She even warned that the earth would end in a great fire. Now, when all this was going on, the Civil War hadn't started yet. So everything that she predicted came true. So, who was the Bell Witch? The witch claimed to be different people at different times, one being Kate Batts. And most people go to this. Many people think that it was Kate Batts, but we're going to debunk that. Kate was mocked in town because she was a little different. She was weird. She said that she wanted, she said what she wanted. She wasn't afraid to speak out, I guess is what I'm saying. And she had strange ways about her, which made people believe that she liked to practice black magic. Rumor has it that John Bell and Kate had a huge dispute, which caused a quarrel. It was even said that on her deathbed, she promised to get John Bell. The problem with that is that he died before her, and the dispute was with her husband's brother. It wasn't with Kate. Now, as time went by, the house went through a few different owners. All of who kept journals on the hauntings in the house. But not only did the new owners get the house, they also got land, and on that land was a cave. Now, in each journal, all of the new owners would always write that they heard glass shattering.
Huh.
just like the family did at the very beginning of the story when the haunting started. Let's see. The cave was supposedly the spot where the witch retreated after John Bell died. Rumors all claim the cave to be extremely haunted. And you can actually go visit the cave too. So one of the owners, or the most recent owner, I guess, brought a psychic with her to investigate. And they had been taking pictures. And in one picture around the cave, they saw loads of orbs and people standing around the cave. One photo showed a little boy in overalls. The psychic saw the same child inside the cave. What they found out was the cave was some kind of portal for spirits. Hundreds of spirits were inside the cave. There is even a tomb of a little Native American girl inside the cave. She was shot in the chest, but her body was stolen. And one day, a paranormal team was doing an investigation on the cave, and they were using all their cool equipment and caught what looked like a door slide open and two spirits walk through. Many paranormal experts believe the cave is a doorway for spirits, which would explain all the different hauntings on the Bell Farm. This is why the witch never claimed to be the same person, and its voice would change at different times. Probably because, you know, one had a soft spot for Lucy, the witch that was nice to Betsy when she was at her friend's house and patted her on the cheek, you know, and told her to get a good night's sleep. It makes sense that it would be different entities, and, you know, there could have been one that was the Bell Witch that absolutely hated that family and wanted to just destroy them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now, later, after investigating the property, the new owner found human bones that turned out to be thousands of years old, dating back to Native American tribes. They also found out about a burial ground above the cave that was thousands of years old. Now, it turns out that shamans would perform ceremonies in the cave to open up a portal. So basically, with the burial ground next to the portal, the shamans made it so the tribe could still communicate with their deceased loved ones. So, there is a portal in the cave.
Well.
which I thought that's pretty neat, but, and it explains so much. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh. Now, when you go to the cave, you have to sign a waiver to go inside. If you disrespect the witch, she will not have it. Many people have been slapped and have also been seen running out of the cave screaming. If you take anything from the cave, you will get hurt. People have come back bloody after taking even rocks from the cave and put the rocks back.
Yeah, don't take shit from haunted places.
You would know all about that, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Now, there is a show on Hulu. I think I posted something about it this past week. It's called Cursed, the Bell Witch. Now, this show is following a direct descendant of the Bell family who is trying to end the curse, which this was news to me. I thought everything kind of ended after John Bell. Y'all, it didn't. It never left the family, and the whole bloodline is apparently cursed. Now, the first male of each generation is plagued with tragedy and death. Since John Bell died, this man's that the show is about, his great-grandpa was crushed to death by logs.
His great uncle went insane and hung himself, and his cousin died in the desert alone, I think by a heart attack or something like that. So now this show is about the man trying to figure out what he can do to end the curse. So what he's done is gone back to Adams, Tennessee. They've gone to the cave. They actually found John Bell's grave. All this weird stuff is happening to him. It's such a great show. It's wonderful because they've got people from the town that know the history. They even brought a shaman on to kind of go over all the history with them. And they even pulled out, they were in a room and they were talking to this man. I don't really know who he was, but he said, "Would you like to see the Bell family Bible?" And they're like, "Yeah." So he pulls out this box and he gets the Bible out. And when he does, this marker board behind him falls on the ground, like out of nowhere. And it is so crazy. It's such a great show. And if you want to know more about the Bell Witch, it goes in, you know, more, it gives you more stories and stuff like that. And it is such a great show. And it's on episode 5 right now. It hasn't finished yet. So I'm interested to see how that finishes. let's see here. An account where they went to the Bellwitch Cave. Let's see here. It's not very long. So, I had a boss. This is just an account of a girl at the Bellwitch Cave, just to give you an idea. I had a boss in the student library where I worked that told me you couldn't pay him enough money to go back to the Bellwitch Cave. And the ghost was able to whisper something to his girlfriend that only she knew. He also warned me not to challenge the ghost. Anyway, me and two friends decided to jump into my old Dodge Dynasty and head down here on Halloween night for a tour. We got there just in time for the last tour of the night at midnight. Oh, we should do that.
Nope.
Okay. While on the tour, we went past some old Indian remains, and a little deeper into the cave where some water was running. The farthest they'll usually take you is a formation called Eagle Rock. I stuck my head past the rock, and I could have sworn some greenish light flashed from the back of the cave towards me. It made me shake my head a couple times. We got ready to leave the cave, and of course, as a half joke, I called out, "Kate, show yourself." And if, you know, a lot of people assume the Bell Witch was Kate, so they call it Kate from time to time. Immediately, I heard something whisper, but I couldn't make out the words. I dismissed it as hearing other tour goers talking in the distance. My friends and I started back towards the car, and it was about 50 degrees out, so a rather cool fall night. As we came up the hill, we suddenly hit a spot of extremely warm air rising from the ground. I'd estimate 75 degrees or more. It smelled strange, too, like Flint. We explained it away as likely some hot water from the cave running close to the surface there, but it still seemed odd. As we got closer to the grass parking lot, we heard the family's dog barking incessantly at something. We finally saw my car, and then we saw the dog bolt from the car with its tail between its legs. I joked that it was barking at the ghost haunting my car. We got in the car and started up and headed back towards the highway. Strange things started to happen. The heat was on full blast, but inside the car would not warm up. My friends and I commented on it, and it felt something like something was trying to make us cry. Our eyes kept watering up. The windows were all fogged up, and as we passed an exit and some lights, we noticed a backwards K and a handprint embossed in the fog on the outside of the window. By the next exit, a P had formed on the windows outside. During the tour, we had been told the ghost had been known as Kate or Pele, P-E-L-E. Things didn't really quiet down until we got to the Kentucky border, and the heat finally started working and the fog disappeared from the windows. But sometimes even now, I feel the pull of the ghost of the Bellwitch Cave asking me to return. I don't know what would happen if I did, and I'm getting chills just writing this. So, that is her story.
She definitely does not need to go back.
No. So, yeah, the comments are awful. They were like, you're bipolar, you're having an episode. That's so rude. But yes, I just wanted to let y'all know that you can look up Bellwitch accounts, and there are several on there from Reddit, and they are crazy. And that one's crazy. It had the handprint on her car and all that. That's mm-hmm. scary, especially after she told Kate to come get her, you know?
Right.
So that's scary and something you probably do not want to do. But you guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry this came out so late. Start to layer up because it's getting cold outside now.
Spooky season.
It's
upon us.
It is upon us. So stay hydrated and make good choices. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.